We move expository and I might say exegetically on into our discourse. Take your document out. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity for manifestation in time. We're in volume 2, and those that are joining us by way of the webcam, we certainly welcome you and ask that you look into our website links, either video or audio, and you will see this document, actualization. It is Scripture Distinctions for Actualization in Eternity for Manifestation in Time, Volume 2. Amen. There's an icon there. You click it, and this document comes up in its entirety. And it will allow you to more readily follow us as we move through our dissertation. Now, this is so very important, and we will continue to impress upon, in fact, we pray that it will be indelibly impressed upon you to receive the wordings that are penned in from eternality, from the vertical view, from where God has certainly designed and implemented and brought everything to pass. For those that are watching and listening, it's going to be an aid and help to you. Amen. Through the terrain of life, and you have a heads up on what's happening, and you don't walk around wondering what is happening and saying what is this. Amen. If you have any questions, it will be wonder what this is for. Not what is this. Amen. In confidence that God is in control and that you get to a certain frame in the matrix and something is lodged there and it jumps out at you, the origin of it is that God's purpose, amen, is working in His will, and His will always works for you, not against you. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Let's go back to where we were. I'm going to complete that in Ephesians that we have been dwelling on for the last two or three outings, and I'm in no hurry. Mm-hmm. Amen. We must get this. Right. We must get this. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're not going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Mm-hmm. Every time someone says something, it ruins our day. Oh, yeah. It's not going to happen. Amen. Knowing who controls all things. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19, amen, we moved into this in documenting that what we receive and what we know and all of our enlightenment come as a result of God having previously ordained and prearranged and predetermined that we receive of Him His communications. And so as it starts out there, amen, it's telling us why we understand and why others don't understand, and that it doesn't make you any more important any more brilliant than the one that doesn't understand. The only difference is God, for his purpose, everybody say his purpose, has pre-arranged for us to receive this comprehension. Although, just read, start from 17 and go to the end of the chapter. Everybody got Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, amen?
Amen.
All right. Read.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, beginning with the 17th verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19.
Now, it's telling you here how the knowledge is dispensed. And why. All right, read.
Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
All right, now let's begin here, and as we look at the Greek, we go back verse 17 there, and for those that are watching that may not be familiar with the eye mode and moving of ministering, we utilize the Greek interlineal simply because there is the Greek wording, scripting, and right underneath it, the English, and of course, he goes off the track, but when he does, he has to put some type of mark in there to let you know that he's off the track. But we don't go off the track when he goes off. Amen. We stick with the script. Amen. Through exegesis. And you may see us, amen, go into some exegesis this morning. All right. Everyone, if you do not have your Greek interlineal, then you can utilize the translation you have and just follow along. It's close in most places. Amen. All right, read.
Ephesians 3, beginning with the 17th verse in the interlinear Greek text, to dwell Christ through faith.
To dwell, now again here, that, well, Deacon, you got, I'm sure you got your Greek lexicon out there. To dwell. Katakise, which is an aorist infinitive. So this is not something in process. Your dwelling in Christ is not a process. So, we're going to deal with that in the conference and talk about God's presence. Amen. How can you not be in the presence of God and you're in him? You're in Christ and yet you go in and out of the presence of God. Amen. All right, read.
To dwell Christ through faith in the hearts of you, in love, having been rooted, and having been founded.
And then what did that happen? When did that happen? When? In eternity. In eternity. Nothing, listen, nothing is in process. Now, it starts with salvation. Nothing. Tomorrow is already done. Everything in tomorrow is already decreed. And we can't change not one iota of it. If it is decreed, then it must be manifested. On the other hand, if it's not decreed, it can't and it ain't going to happen. Oh, help us, Lord, to align with your program, your will, your workings, your ways. Read.
In verse 18, in order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know.
That is what, Brother Deacon? There is the fact that all of those verbs, as it flows through the those verses, are completed actions. I know the rule and say ignore them, but amen. That's not what we're going to do. Completed acts. God's not making up things as he goes. Nothing is hanging in the balance. Y'all better hear me this morning. Depending upon what you do or don't do. Thank God it's not that way. Yeah, I am all depraved and something is dependent upon me. That's why men of God's people are basket cases. Because we're looking to ourselves. Selfward instead of Godward. Our focus is on what we can do, completely disregarding what God has already done. All right, read.
Verse 19. And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
And that's complete also. All of that. Every last one of those verbs. And infinity.
Amen.
I end what? Completed actions. Which tells us that everything here that we may set and look at as a project is complete. Read.
Verse 20.
Now
to the being able beyond all things to do superabundantly.
See, it, when you read that and you follow translations, and of course, it's been, even though we're into the interlinear there, he's not going to go out on a limb and go against the powers that be.
Amen.
Read.
Superabundantly of which we ask or we think according to the power operating in us. Verse 21. To him the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen.
Means he has covered it. All ages. This goes for each and everything that you need, God has already provided. Now, when we read that, go to page 2, and there's one word we need to change there, and that's, it says Christ may dwell, that's to dwell, that's an infinitive. The literal translation, page 2, those that are following us, there's one word that we will change. Those that are watching by way of the webcast are listening. That Christ to dwell, having dwell through faith in your hearts, in love having been rooted and grounded, that you may be having been strengthened to comprehend, having comprehended. With all the saints, what is the breadth? That's the extent. That's the spiritual part. Amen. Purposed. Length, depth, height, to know, having known. Also the love of Christ that is exceeding the knowledge. That's exceeding what you see and what you think. Word of God takes us above our thoughts into God's thoughts. Above our ways into God's ways. Above our so-called agenda, which is nothing but an imaginary itinerary, to God's agenda, which is the real agenda. They see to the knowledge that you may be, listen, having been filled to all the fullness of God. And this is saying that we will receive all of the benefits of what He has conveyed to us. That is the purpose. Another place Paul writes, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Love. Power. Sound thinking. Sound thinking. That means we are not going to be thinking within ourselves. Thinking within yourself is not sound thinking. Thinking within yourselves, based upon yourselves, about yourself, looking nowhere but into yourself, is not sound thinking. About Him. Now, I want you to turn to page 3, and we're going to go through a few of our definitions from our glossary of definitions. First one is functionality. That's the process of how an entity operates. Go on down to the next one. Everybody says nascent. Nascent. That is coming, having recently come into existence, which is nothing. Everything exists from eternity. And you must separate that from when we see it, when it shows up.
Right.
That it didn't just happen. Nothing in life pops up and just happened. So, well, that just happened. No, it did not. It was just manifested, but it didn't just happen. Everybody said parameter. That's the limit. Restriction of boundary. Now, who sets that? God does. When is He out there establishing it now? It was preset. Preset. Now two more. Reality. Everybody say reality. It's actually existent, true or certain. So how do you get to that? The next word. Relativism. Relativism. Everybody say relativism. It's the concepts according to cultures and situations in the general sense. But it's based upon what you're focusing on. Most of the time we focus on situations around us and, amen, and the things that have been conveyed to us through the testimony of men. And we believe it. And the scriptures say you believe the witness of men. What about the witness of God? Which is greater. The witness of God is what? It's greater than the witness of men. The witness of God deals with actuality. So relativity, everybody say relativity. That's how an entity relates or aligns with a separate, a remote, non-related entity. What we're saying here is, how do things align? Most time, we as humans, we use ourselves as the mental pole. We use ourselves as the nucleus. And how things relate to us is how we view them and how we assess them. And the Word of God is telling us that everything is according to God. Nothing is according to me. Are you? And this is why we look into God's Word for the assessment of things. How it seems, appears, is according to human thinking. How it is according to what God has spoken.
Amen.
In one saying, Hebrews 11:3, it's according to a saying. Everything that's in the ages is according to a saying. So that the thing that's appearing is not coming out of the scene. What is it coming out of? The saying. What God is saying. We look into the Word of God to get our answers. Two things. What does it mean? It says, lean not to your own understanding. I mean, that just, it goes right by us. In all your ways, do what? Knowledge, and let him do it. If I know the way, I don't need anyone to direct me. If I'm going somewhere and I know where I'm going, I don't need to stop and ask anyone anything to do it. What this is basically conveying, the Word of God, and especially when you get to the grace covenant, is that God has already laid out this thing, is done, and the career of our souls is to look to Him, receive His communications, and rejoice in confidence of what He has done for us, because we, amen, we are assured that it's all to our advantage and none to our disadvantage. And so no matter what my eyes may behold or what I see, I'm always more assured by what God has said. And when someone says something, I look into the Word of God. And the two, there's a variance between the two. I can just basically discount what has sprung up out of the well of humanness, thinking. And no, I say, well, do you think the asteroid's going to hit the earth? I said, I don't know. Sure. Aren't you concerned? Well, let's stop. What you going to do about it? Well, we can worry about it. No. When you look into the Word of God, first of all, it has some prophecy in here. There are some things that have got to go down. And one of them is the church is taken out of here. Oh, give God a praise.
Yeah.
Give Him a praise. Even before the man of sin shows up, we're gone. And then there are some things that do go through, and you turn and you look at Daniel, you look at Revelation, and every last one of those prophecies are based on what already exists. It's already done. In manifestation, it's foretelling. In actualization, it is. Everything has already come to pass. in God's decree. And that's the only way a thing is ontologized or come into being, is God has said it. And God help us to have confidence. And this is why it's so important that we come together, amen, in Bible study and in ministry. You know, everybody's going to know everybody's opinion and not stop to see what God is doing. Huh? Opinions, and I respect everybody's opinion, amen. And I have an opinion, amen. But that thing has to be aligned with God's decree to have any worth and value to it. And if it doesn't align, then we need to do some adjusting here. And that's what this is basically all about. Now, I went through a brief thing this morning with the, and I think I might have touched on this even Wednesday night, and I went through it this morning with the youth. Let's turn to Ephesians, just one verse, chapter 5, verse 13. And we're at 13 and 14. To know what is and what isn't. Because for the most part, what we say is, isn't. And what we say isn't, is. All right, everybody got Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, amen. Read.
Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with the 13th verse.
Mm-hmm.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Uh huh. Verse 14.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest.
Wake up. Get with it. Get out of illusion land. Fantasy land. Read.
Rise from the dead.
From your slumber. And what?
And Christ shall give thee light.
Let's go to the Greek on that.
Ephesians 5:13.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:13 in the interlinear Greek text. But all things being reproved by the light is manifested.
Mm-hmm.
14. For everything
how is it manifested?
Being manifested
by the light. By light. By light.
Yeah. Amen.
Now it goes further. Verse 14.
By light is wherefore he says, rise, the sleeping.
Verse 14 from the Greek.
Yeah. For everything being manifest, light.
The light is light.
Yeah. Light is.
They'll fight you on that. Everything exposed is by the light, and everything revealed is what? It's light. Everything is light. The medium of revelation is light. First Timothy, we're not going to go there today, amen. 6:14, basically, he says that in 15, it says that he emits or produces light. I know in the translation they say he dwell on light. God cannot dwell in something that he created. He is light. Light comes from him. Now, here's how it works. Follow me now. thing is ontologized, it comes into being. Hebrews 11 and 3, through a saying. All of the ages, all creatures, all occurrences. It's through one saying, singular. For all of the ages, it is according to one saying. We must understand the difference between what is actualized through the saying,
right,
which exists where? In eternity. But then how does it get to manifestation in time? Light. It is a record of what God has done.
Right.
You look around and you see something, it is a record of what God has done. You touch this, that this is a record of what God has done. Well, how am I touching it so forth somewhere there? Amen. You own the other end of it. You can't actually resonate with the spirituality of it in our human vernacular and makeup and thinking. It is exposed. Evidence to the light. In eternity it is. He creates time and then he shines the light. It's, oh my God, it's John 1 and 1. We don't have time. Amen. Oh my God. The light shineth into the darkness and the darkness can't apprehend it. In darkness there's nothing until the light gets there. Which let us know that in the matrix there is nothing. He said there's light, but the light comes from him. And whatever is there, it's just the medium of the light. So what actually exists in time? Nothing. The record of it is through the light. Even in scientism, we call this solid, and to us in resonation it is. Yet even scientism said it is made out of atoms, and then you break the atom down into mechanism where you have a nucleus where the protons and the neutrons are situated, and then there's space. On the outer shells, you have the electrons, which are balances. All they do is to hold things together. There's a balance there. You get the imbalance between the electrons and protons, and then it's going to move and start moving toward doing something else or being something else. So, Pastor, why are you going through all of this? Because we've got to come to realize, as God's people, the glorious, secure position that we're in. In him. So that we don't think like the world. And we are influenced as the world. Because you turn on the TV and you see something, now you're going to have a bad day. No, you're not. You get something in the mail, now your week is ruined. No, you're not. Oh, what a blessing it has been to me to have this knowledge and to know that whatever's there, God has placed it there for purpose. Amen. His purpose. Everybody said God's purpose. And so these are the things that we must comprehend and understand. Else life is going to wear you out. And this is why many of God's people are basket cases. We don't fare any better than the world. But this knowledge will cause us to rise up beyond the things that are around us. And so light comes, and basically it starts out in physicality as energy. Mm-hmm. And there are only two types of elements in the universe. And they're what? Mass and energy. Mm-hmm. And going from that way, most of the time we go back, amen. We're going to go this way this morning. The energy, as it cools down, vapor. And as it cools down, gas. As it cools down, liquid. And as it cools down, solid. Where did the energy come from? Light. Wherein spirituality has pierced physicality. Now, physicality can't pierce spirituality, but spirituality... Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Glory.
The light comes from him, and it pierces the darkness. And what you see is as a result of the light. Thank you, Jesus. My. And so what we see is not coming out of that which we have devised or have anything to do with. It is all of God. It is all of God. And then in life, you don't ever have to worry about what is the source of things. Sing a source. It brings comfort to know. That God is the origination. That's where our security is.
Yes, sir.
Our security is in Christ. Not in things. In him. Now, I want you to turn to page 4 in our introduction. Let's go to the last paragraph at the bottom. Now, these are some observations that come out of the exegesis. In the previous paragraph, talking about those that debate whether God desires for us to, quote, be robots, as they say it, as they appeal to humanity's ego. That the things that we see, touch, taste, the things that we are involved in, we have some say so as to what happens and when things happen and how things happen. Follow me closely here. I'll be down in about 10 minutes. Now, Israelite, God made the world and put everything in our hands. And things function according to our input. If I do A, then B will happen. If I do B, then C will happen. God knows what will happen if I don't do anything. are we turning to worry warts?
Bring it out.
Because we don't know what to do.
Bring it out.
How many things have you been faced with for you to know what to do? Well, as we look into the Word of God, we come to understand that it is not about what we do, what God has already done. And when we pray, amen, yeah, we petition. Do we petition? Yeah, we petition. Absolutely, we petition. But do our petition redound to what happens? To what happens? Our petitions, not the result that our petitions are a part of the components of the process. What we do is already prearranged.
Yes, amen. Glory.
So, well, if I had done this, it would not have happened. If I do this, that happened because, as though there are options in life. And of course, it seems that way, doesn't it? It does. Whether I go left or right, that's an option. No, it's not. The path you take is prearranged.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Precept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Foreordained.
Mm-hmm.
Predestinated, if you please. You mean that boneheaded move I made? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You mean I couldn't have done anything else? No.
That's right.
Now they're going to say, well, we're not robots. They're teaching that over there that we're robots, and so they're going to appeal to our pride, but it doesn't work that way. Let's look at the last paragraph, and then I'm going to be out of your way in about 10 minutes. Where it says scripture revelation, this is on page 5 at the bottom. Those that are following us, again, this document is an icon you can hit and go to it. Page 5. Everybody got it? Amen. Scripture revelations avow that the Creator is sovereign in sovereignty is vindicated in Him having honored creation. He's vindicated now. To whatever he specifically desired. This enlightenment is comprehensible of command and substance solely in the sphere of world, eternality. And this is where it is insurmountably acknowledged. This is exposed in his facilitated testimony as the scripturally venerable revelation of life. In addition, this is the indisputable vow that serves as the sufficient purpose in life. Its purpose. This is clearly eternally discerned as the Creator's will, as God's will, of what qualifies and quantifies an existence. And of course, we don't think that way. Most ministries don't teach that way. Who's piloting the ship? You or God? Most religions in human history have consistently asserted the existence of a creator God, but hardly any of them agree as to what such a conceptual role invokes as defining origination and meaning and direction of life. What does that mean? God created. What does creator mean? Designer.
Mm-hmm.
What did he design?
Yeah.
Well, some things.
Yeah.
And he left some other things up to us. Think. Humans, even within religions, exude tremendous diversity as to the entreating, petitioning of God in worship. And it affects the way we worship God. Most of us think of God relative to ourselves. We don't think of God relative to God. We think of God relative to us, with the emphasis on us. What a conclusive, a confusion scopes in situating the variances of partnerships and participation of functional creation rather than its other design cadence. And this is where we stopped last week. The soul source. Amen. We talked about the cadence. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. The band is marching. The drums, the purpose of the drums is the cadence. Mm-hmm. If you're marching, boom, 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 boom. Each one of those beats has some motion and unity of either the left or the right foot. Either picking it up or putting it down. You're moving. And it's like, to some of us, life is a runaway train. This thing is getting out of hand.
Yeah, good. Come on.
It was never in your hand.
Come on.
It was always in God's hand.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
So the cadence is from the single source, because everything marched to the drum beat of God.
Everything.
In the next paragraph.
Thank you.
This scenario manifests in the erroneous projections that this thing just moving on their own course. This scenario manifests in the erroneous projections. Personal hopes and fears, and that's what's being taught in some of the ministries. Your destiny, your hope, your plan, your goal. God is only an accommodator to feed into you what you need to reach. What you want to get what you want. And this is how we rate God and grade God. Oh yeah, we grade God. If this thing is going my way and what I plan and what I want, he's good. If it's not, well, I don't know. Maybe it's something I didn't do right. You know, the focus still being me. It's like we think God made he created the world and then just, like, he doesn't have a plan. He didn't have a will. God didn't have an agenda. After he got through creating the world, and this is that thinking. Step back and let's see what you guys are going to do now. He's a wallflower. He's a spectator. Is God in your business? Every bit of it. Like he has arranged your business.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I don't know about that. This thing is all messed up.
Pray it out,
not according to purpose.
That's right.
God is not a messed up God.
Come on. Yeah.
Maybe viewed as mess by you, but it's in complete order. So there's order to the disorder.
Indeed. Amen.
And we must understand this. All right, can I just get through one paragraph today? This scenario manifests in the erroneous projections of personal hopes and fears as humanly independent contributions in life processes. like this is the input that we're putting in. Whatever approaches of creature adoration this invokes in modernity simply redounds in continuous of uncertainties. As long as you think that way, you're never going to have be able to put a handle on anything in life. Exultingly, humans misconstrue chiefly in this respect and solely attribute changes in life situations and instances as components of their choices and willingness, regardless recurrent derivations of impute alterations. What I'm saying is that you do this thing one way this time, another way this time. Sometimes you do them different ways and come out with the same results. And sometimes you do it the same way and come out with different results. So now I'm confused. It had nothing to do with your input. Don't confuse processes with purpose. You can do that thing the same way 10 times and come out with 10 different results. Because it wasn't about your input. Mm-hmm. Glory. We got to really understand when we say God, what are we saying? We say God. Most of us, because we view God and think of God in regards to ourselves, we don't give God his dues by saying God. It's different. On the one hand, and I end here today, life prioritized focusing inhibits inwardly and self-provokedly rather than outwardly and God-inspired souls. Actualized compositions are tolerant of these variations in their manifestations through eternal enlightenment of things, simply residing as they are because their latter state are any better founded than their former. What we're saying there is basically that thing is already set. Thank you. And what you do on this end is not going to change it.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And when we pray,
oh, have mercy. Thank God.
Never close that prayer about saying what?
Lord.
Your will is done. Your will is done.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us to become comfortable with his will.
Yes, sir.
Confident in his will. Assured in his will.
Sure. Hey,
oh, we sing the song, have your way, Lord. Do what you want to do. We're just singing.
Jesus.
We don't want God to do whatever he wants to do. If I want him to do what he wants to do, what am I petitioning for? That's part of the process. And the ultimate end of the prayer is to align with God's will.
Absolutely.
Last sentence, this informed reasoning is always in sight of a benevolent, man, this is where trust comes in. A loving God. Now, he has shown his love for you. He placed you in the body of Christ in eternity.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to doubt him when it comes to paying your bills or healing your body. So, well, yeah, he might not heal it. That's probably the best thing for you. And so, oh, Pastor, you're crazy. No. See, we prioritize time, but God prioritizes eternity. How that thing results and works out in eternity is the best thing for you, whether you know it or not. This is why Jesus in the kingdom of God said, it'd be better for you to be maimed in this life than to be the board of health in this life. And in eternity, on the one end, you are always his. And on the other end, you were never his. Understand what life is. Life is Christ. So this informed reason is always in sight of benevolent and loving God than the trepidations that are incurred in legalism's fearful judgmental creator. Yet God's requirements aren't recoverable ultimations of human purposes. And here's what I'm saying basically as we close here today. God doesn't need you to help him out. We need him, but he doesn't need us. So well, God would do this only if you would do this. And he said, you make one step you do this and that, and you do it right and so forth. First of all, just to say, for me to do something right, and I'm depraved, and I don't have God as the cause of me doing it. What's the difference between when I do right and when I don't? Many checks my depravity, overrules it, and calls me to act like him, walk like him, think like him, do like him. Same person, and when I don't, he didn't check depravity. And depravity is like on an automatic pilot. Oh, you don't think so? Huh. And don't you ever say what you won't do.
I hear you.
You better say, I pray that God won't allow me to. That he checks my depravity. Because I'm capable of whatever my brother's capable of. I was listening this week as Mayor of Detroit received a sentence, and there were some people, oh, he deserved it. He should have. Well, what do you deserve? How would you like someone to give you what you deserve? The problem is we don't like mercy until we need it. We need to get off that train. Your brother falls. He was no brother. What? Were you around in eternity when God didn't choose him? Well, look what he did. Well, look what you did. But man's not as bad as he is. But says who? All unrighteousness is what?
Sin.
And the scripture says, if he's overtaken on the fault, those of us who are spiritual, kick him.
No.
Put your foot on him.
No.
Talk about it.
No.
No, restore him.
Restore him.
Why? Because that same thing will come around the corner back to you. And then you won't be crying, kill him, stick him.
No.
It'll be mercy. And so our assessment of ourselves has got to be on the basis that God is all. And we're nothing. Grace, that's what grace does. Grace strips you.
Yes, Lord.
Lets you know you're nothing.
Yes, Lord.
Grace says God is everything and I'm nothing. Yet I'm everything in him. And when I come to understand that, then I'm not ever trusting in my ways. In my thoughts. Everything is about Christ. In him, about him, through him, for him. Everybody, give the Lord a praise this morning.